Iranians from all walks of life have held rallies in many cities throughout the country to commemorate the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. Death toll from quakes that rocked Syria and Turkey is nearing 30,000. Rescue teams are still pulling people out from under debris. And Canada says it shot down an unidentified object in its airspace a day after the U.S. took a similar action over Alaska. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to World News. In our top story, the Iranians from all walks of life have held rallies in many cities throughout the country to commemorate the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Saman Kujuri reports.
Iranians from different walks of life have participated in the commemoration rally from all parts of the metropolitan Tehran to the iconic Azadi Square to mark and celebrate the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution and renew allegiance with the ideals of the revolution.
The Iranian nation toppled the US-backed Pahlavi regime 44 years ago, ending 2,500 years of monarchy in the country. The Islamic Revolution led by Imam Khomeini established a new political system based on Islamic values and democracy.
The celebration was held in Tehran and over 1,400 cities and 38,000 villages around the Islamic country.
We are here to support our country and we are here to tell the U.S. to back off so that we can make more improvements in our country. We're going to support this government, this country forever. We're going to support our supreme leader. So you just have to stop interfering in our affairs. And we want to say that down with the U.S. because you've been the cruelest country in the world.
We celebrate the 44th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution to show the world that despite all riots and plots hatched by the enemies, our Islamic Revolution is strong and powerful. We love our leader and the Islamic Revolution and are ready to sacrifice our life for the ideals of our revolution.
Addressing crowds of people at Azadi Square, Iran's president, Ebrahim Raisi, said West's policy of imposing sanctions and maximum pressure on the Islamic Republic has failed thanks to the resistance of the Iranian nation.
West's policy imposing sanctions and maximum pressure on the Islamic Republic has failed thanks to the resistance of the Iranian nation. The United States and its allies failed to stop the Iranians from making progress. The Iranians managed to make the enemy's plots futile. The West, the U.S. in particular, stands accused of human rights violations by waging wars in countries like Iraq, Afghanistan, and Yemen. The West must be held accountable for its crimes in the region.
The demonstrators underlined the necessity of preserving national unity and avoiding any measure that would foment division and sedition in the country. Analysts believe that after 44 years since the victory of the Islamic Revolution, and despite different forms of conspiracies against the Islamic establishment, Iran has now been turned into a beacon of hope for freedom seekers and the oppressed nations of the world. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
We asked activist and political commentator Sarbaz Ruhollarezvi how different Iran's Islamic Revolution has been compared to other revolutions.
After passage of 4 or 5 months, nowadays, every other day, one of those fake news are being revealed that they were trying to drag the people to the streets by false and fake news. Yet, and behind all those propagandas by the Western countries, and still yet it's going on. So this time again, you may look to the streets of different cities across Iran, and I'm sure that eyes of millions and hundreds of millions of people across the globe is towards Iran today. And I'm sure that they will not be disappointed as people will come into the streets. Iran, Iranian revolution, as you mentioned, has inspired people across the globe. This inspiration that Iran has given to the people of the world has two main important dimensions. First of all, I do believe that it all started with changing, shifting, presenting a new perspective, new point of view to the and it brought a new understanding and new meanings for the term revolution itself, for the term Islam, for the term of social justice. It gave people a new sense, a new understanding.
In Afghanistan, a ceremony has been held to commemorate the 44th anniversary of the victory of Iran's Islamic Revolution. Our Kabul correspondent has your story.
A ceremony in the Afghan capital, Kabul, has marked the 44th anniversary of Iran's Islamic Revolution, bringing together officials from Afghanistan's Taliban ruling system, as well as foreign diplomats representing various countries. In the event, Shir Mohammad Abbasi Stanekzai, the deputy foreign minister of Afghanistan, stressed that Iran's 1979 revolution was an Islamic and popular movement.
Our neighbor and friend Iran today celebrates a movement that 44 years ago led to the foundation of an Islamic government in Iran under the leadership of late Imam Khomeini. A positive point of this revolution is that it achieved victory in a short period.
The Islamic Revolution of Iran also had an impact on other nations, especially those that had been oppressed, and inspired them to stand against tyranny.
Following the Islamic Revolution in Iran, the issue of imperialism turned into world arrogance, oppression and justice. This Islamic viewpoint didn't remain limited to Islamic countries. Even today, you see movements against world arrogance in Latin America. It was right after the Islamic Revolution that plots of the adversaries started to fail. I can refer to the U.S. presence in Afghanistan and Iraq that happened to be big failures for the U.S.
Shortly after Iran's Islamic Revolution, Afghanistan was also invaded by the Soviet Union. In those years, the Iranian Revolution inspired people here to stand against the invaders.
Afghanistan might be the country that was inspired the most by the revolution, especially in the early years following its victory. The fight against the Soviet forces in Afghanistan became more serious at that time, and it eventually led to the eviction of the Soviet Union from Afghanistan.
44 years after the Islamic Revolution of Iran, more and more countries commemorate their revolution and this spirit of standing against tyranny. The Islamic Revolution of Iran 44 years ago was the beginning of a trend that in Afghanistan inspired people to expel then Soviet Union. Abdullah Mirzadeh, Kabul.
5 days after a powerful quake rocked the border regions of Turkey and Syria, death toll continues to climb. Now nearly 30,000 people have been confirmed dead in the two countries, over 24,600 in Turkey and over 80,000 injured. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says over 13.5 million people have been affected in the country. UN Aid Chief Martin Griffiths has described the devastating quake as the worst in over a century.
What happened here on Monday, the epicenter of the earthquake, was the worst event in 100 years in this region.
He also described Turkey's response to disaster as extraordinary. Griffiths hopes aid will reach both government and militant-held areas in Syria, where at least 5,000 people have been confirmed dead. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus has arrived in Syria's quake-stricken Aleppo. Tedros said that he was accompanying emergency medical supplies of around 37 metric tons. Since Monday's earthquakes, rescuers and volunteers have been scrambling with little means to find survivors under concrete debris of collapsed buildings. Reports of more loss of life as a result of the disastrous earthquake in Turkey. Our correspondent in Damascus, Muhammad Ali, has the latest on the situation in Syria.
The death toll exceeded the 5,000 people. Of course, thousands others are affected, injured, or displaced as a result of what happened on Monday, this earthquake. Now, a very important note is that more and more airplanes loaded with the humanitarian aid continue to land and arrive in Damascus International Airport, also in Latakia and Aleppo. Now, though it's not enough, taking into consideration the large number of people affected. But definitely, it's very important that there are countries like Russia, like Iran, and also neighboring Arab countries that are sending that support. Also, the latest is that head of the WHO arrived in Aleppo today and toured alongside with the Minister of Health in Syria, various parts of Aleppo, also toured areas that were affected, the temporary shelter centers. The head of the WHO arrived with an airplane also carrying about 35 tons of medical equipment. In the coming 2 days, there will be also an additional plane loaded with the medical equipment provided by the WHO. This is very important also for the people here.
Lebanon's journalists, as well as political and religious figures, have gathered in Beirut to denounce America's harsh sanctions imposed on Syria that are hindering the delivery of aid to the quake-stricken country and also hampering rescue efforts.
The National Media Association in Lebanon held a gathering in the capital, Beirut, to show solidarity with the Syrian people who continue to suffer because of the U.S. sanctions imposed under the so-called Caesar Act. The journalists, media figures, politicians, and representatives of the resistance front noted that Syria stood with the resistance groups when the world had abandoned Palestine and Lebanon, and that now is the time to stand with Syria.
From Beirut, the National Media Association announces the Beirut Declaration and calls on the Arab and Islamic people and the free people in the world to work on confronting oppression and stopping the wars of sanctions and famine, which are against basic human rights.
The U.S. State Department has claimed that the sanctions do not target humanitarian aid, but Monday's earthquake has proven the opposite.
It's a mere maneuver by the United States just to confront this wave of indictment to the United States. And it's a way for them to reimpose the sanctions in order to achieve their geopolitical agenda. I believe that we need to keep pressuring the United States, exerting pressure, moral and material pressure, in order to lift the sanctions of Syria.
Over 3,000 people have so far died as a result of the catastrophic earthquake in Syria, as rescue teams continue to search for survivors under the rubble of the buildings, which have been completely leveled to the ground. In addition to rescue efforts, the Syrian people are in dire need of essentials like medicine and fuel, which have not been allowed to enter Syria because of the Western sanctions.
They cannot still, like, turn around sending humanitarian aids to Syria through NGOs or others. It should be through the governments of Syria. After all, the government is doing all the necessary job to help people and to take them to hospitals or to make shelters or so.
On February 6th, the 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck Turkey and Syria, killing thousands in the two countries. While countries like Iran and Russia have sent aid to Syria, the amount of humanitarian assistance that reached the Arab country is still very little compared to the international aid sent to Turkey.
At least five rescue teams from Lebanon headed directly to Syria to provide all the assistance they can of the rescue efforts, yet many are saying the aid that many are providing is not enough. Participants here today stressed that the U.S. and its Western allies need to lift the unjust sanctions against Syria and the Syrian people. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
There's no end in sight to Israeli bloodshed against Palestinians. An Israeli settler has fatally shot a Palestinian in the village of Qarawat Beni Hassan near the occupied West Bank. 27-year-old Mothka Rayan was fatally shot in an Israeli settler raid. According to eyewitnesses, settlers were carrying pistols and rifles. Regime forces then arrived on the scene to protect the settlers. The number of car ramming attacks on the settlement on Friday has risen to three now. Palestinian man rammed his car into a group of settlers at a bus stop in East Al-Quds. Several others were injured. A Palestinian was shot dead by Israeli forces. Latest developments come as Israel has intensified its crackdown on occupied territories. Regime forces have killed dozens of Palestinians, including nine children, since the beginning of 2023. And now, for six straight weeks, tens of thousands of demonstrators have hit the streets of Tel Aviv, protesting against policies of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet. Protesters called Netanyahu a dictator. They said his fascist cabinet's proposed judicial reform plans threaten checks on ministers by the courts. They said reforms also tighten political control over judicial appointments and limit apex court's powers to overturn cabinet decisions or laws of the Knesset. The coalition also intends to intensify its expansionist policy with more settlement units in the occupied West Bank. Netanyahu returned to power last November, and his cabinet is believed to be the most right-wing in the regime's history. The Canadian Prime Minister says an unidentified object that violated the country's airspace has been shot down on his orders. Justin Trudeau says Canadian and U.S. aircraft were scrambled and U.S. F-22 took out the object in the country's north. He added Canadian forces will now recover and analyze the wreckage. Trudeau said he had spoken with his U.S. counterpart. Now Friday, U.S. said it shot down another unidentified flying object over Alaska. Pentagon offered very few details about the object, including its size and traveling altitude. New developments come after Washington shot down what it called a Chinese spy balloon. Beijing said the object was a weather balloon and had accidentally entered U.S. territory. Also slammed the U.S. move to shoot it down as overreaction. And now, one of the biggest protests in Portugal in recent years, tens of thousands of teachers have taken to the streets of Lisbon amid public discontent over the cost of living crisis. Now, it's the third time in less than a month that teachers and school workers have held mass demonstrations. Teachers want a pay rise and are also calling the government to speed up career progression. This, as the Portuguese education minister said, negotiations with teachers' unions are ongoing and express hope an agreement can soon be reached. And Portugal is one of Western Europe's poorest countries, which is seeing decades-high inflation and is grappling with a cost-of-living crisis. And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
In the limelight.
In a first-of-its-kind organ transplant from a dead donor, Iranian surgeons have managed to accomplish an extraordinary feat, saving the lives of several patients, according to a cardiovascular surgeon. ProCivis website has provided an exclusive article in this regard. Stay tuned for more. In an exclusive interview with the ProCivis website, Dr. Sam Zeraatian Nejad Davani said through a novel technique performed for the first time in Iran, organs were donated from a deceased person to living persons. The surgical procedure has so far been performed on three donors and all the recipients are healthy. Dr. Davani, assistant professor of cardiovascular surgery at Iran University of Medical Sciences, said. However, the results of the transplant have not been officially published in any journal yet. We are waiting to see how recipients' bodies respond to it and how the organ function, he added. The first transplant after an individual's death was carried out 7 months ago, Dr. Davani informed, adding that the CPR, or cardiopulmonary Resuscitation continued for about 60 minutes, but eventually proved unsuccessful. Soon afterward, another patient on the organ transplant waiting list who matched the donor was transferred to the operation theater. The doctor remarked the second attempt was a success. He told the Press TV website, "We successfully managed to transplant a kidney from the completely dead donor to a recipient in the first surgery of its kind." Dr. Davani went on to add that the same scenario played out for the second patient. However, this time, the donor's two kidneys and liver were donated to the matching recipients. In the third patient, the lungs, liver, two kidneys, and pancreas were all donated, he said, noting that the recipients are all doing well and are in a very good condition. Following correspondence with Donation and Transplantation Institute, DTI Foundation, we were assured that this is the first time such a procedure in organ transplant has been performed in the world, Dr. Davani said, adding, "We conducted research for a year before implementing this technique to decide if it proves viable." Pertinently, DTI brings together medical practitioners from Spain, Europe, and America to advise and support the implementation of projects in organ, tissue, and cell donation. Dr. Davani stressed that one of the important factors in implementing the technique is that the team performing it must be on their toes around the clock, as they don't know when a donor may be available. Organ donation is a life-saving procedure, which, according to Dr. Davani, is traditionally performed in the world either after a brain or cardiac death. Brain death is an irreversible condition when all brain activity ceases and, therefore, the patient cannot regain consciousness or is able to breathe without critical support. A person who is brain dead is legally confirmed diseased, so the organs may be viable for transplant. On the other hand, some may die due to a cardiac stroke, which results from the abrupt loss of heart function, breathing, and consciousness. This condition usually results from a problem with the heart's electrical system, which disrupts the pumping action and stops blood flow to the body. If not treated immediately, it can potentially lead to death. Donation after cardiac death or non-heart beating organ donation, which is also referred to as donation after circulatory death or DCD, is the retrieval of organs for the purpose of transplantation from patients whose death is diagnosed and confirmed using cardiorespiratory criteria. According to Dr. Davani, donation after cardiac death was performed for the first time in the country by his team at Hazrat Rasul General Hospital, which is affiliated with Iran University of Medical Sciences, a premier medical college and hospital. In donation after cardiac death, doctors perform organ-preserving cardiopulmonary resuscitation, OPCPR, which is defined as the use of CPR in cases of cardiac arrest to preserve organs for transplantation, rather than to revive the patient, he said. After the donor's heart starts to beat again, the patient is transferred to the operating theater, and some drugs to increase the patient's blood pressure are administered, and the process of donating organs in accordance with Health Ministry's guidelines begins. said the surgeon. The technique Dr. Davani hastened to add is so far performed in the US, Australia, Spain, as well as Iran. Despite the two aforesaid techniques in donation after complete death, the patient has no blood circulation, heartbeat, or lung function, he remarked. However, there is no difference between the outcome of each of the transplant techniques, the working of the grafts, and the organs function. All the organs are retrievable in donation after complete death, and it solely depends on the alacrity and experience of the surgical team to harvest as many organs as possible, Dr. Davani stated. Dr. Davani said the new technique, as well as donation after cardiac death, will increase the number of available organs by 20 to 30% for patients on the waiting list whose lives hang on a thread. In the post-COVID-19 era, and with a drop in the number of brain deaths due to decreased road mishaps, this strategy will increase the number of possible donors for the recipients on the waiting list. This is a new window and a new era for the future of organ transplantation in our country, the surgeon said. Many patients die in hospitals daily, so the cause of death does not usually matter, he said, adding that they just need to be there at the right time and manner and based on protocols and contraindications. However, the doctor added it is best to choose patients who die at the hospital and are in the vicinity of an operating theater. Dr. Davani stressed this way donors can be transferred to the operation room as soon as the relatives sign the consent forms. While this technique of donation after complete death has so far been performed at Tehran's Hazrat Rasul General Hospital, Davani said it is possible to use this procedure in all provinces across Iran. He added, surgical teams in other provinces just need to familiarize themselves with the technique as well as learn how to persuade the donors' families to donate their patients' organs. He said that talks are underway with the Ministry of Health to expand the program to other provinces and hospitals in the capital, Tehran, saying, "We already have the necessary infrastructure and technology in order to perform such a procedure in other hospitals, at least in the capital."
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Nahwi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of Taghut and how the Islamic Revolution of Iran 1979 tried to eradicate the concept of Taghut. We know that the embodiment of the concept of Taghut on that time was the Pahlavi regime, led by Pahlavi dynasty, Reza Khan, and then Mohammad Reza. And it was toppled down in 1979 by the late Imam Khomeini and the Islamic Revolution that took place over there. So many people might think that this was merely a political revolution. But according to the sayings of Imam Khomeini, it was a removal of the Taghut power. And this word, this key term, Taghut, has been used very much in his speeches. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. What is exactly the concept of Taghut?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. From the Islamic perspective, or we can say from the Quranic and traditional terminology. What we can translate Tawgut is the kind of arrogant power,
yes,
who is performing and doing everything against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will.
Yes.
And this could be the best translation for the term Tawgut,
yes,
which comes from Tughyan, the one who revolt against, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and wills. So that is why when it comes to Tawgut, or a kind of tyrant or oppressor or arrogant kind of king or power, it is the responsibility of the prophets, the a'imma, the followers, the scholars of Ahlul Bayt and the prophets to fight against this kind of tyranny or tyrant kind of powers. So that is why Islamic revolution was, of course, it was not only a merely political kind of movement, because politics or policy is something that relates to the action, to the performance.
Yes.
But prior to the action, prior to the performance, you have to change your mindset, your ideas, your thought. First, you change yourself in terms of thought, in terms of ideas, in terms of, we can say, theory. You know, theoretically, you first change.
Yes.
Then practically, you change your movement.
Okay.
So the regime or the system that was established at the time of the Reza, the King Reza Khan, and the other Pahlavi kings, they were based on a certain kind of principles or theories or ideas.
Yes.
What Imam Khomeini opposed first was those kind of ideology or ideas. That was the main kind of concept. And that kind of system was this, the concept of Tawgut.
Yes.
That Imam Khomeini, radwanullah ta'ala alayh, fought against it. So that's why I think Islamic revolution should not be termed only as a merely kind of political movement.
That's right.
Rather, it was totally a kind of ideological also change or revolution that occurred in the history of Islam.
That's right. Okay.
Yes.
That's right. And Sayyid Mohsen, now this revolution led by the late Imam Khomeini against the Tawgut, it is believed that it was the continuation of the path of prophets and then the infallible imams against injustice. How?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, obviously, when we define Tawgut, as dear guest has explained, obviously, Tawgut is known as the false deities, tyrant. You know, all the governments who are cruel and oppressors, obviously, they all are known as Tawgut.
Yes.
So when we see the movement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning of the history of Islam, and the A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam, they raised their voice against all oppression, all cruelty, all injustice. So Imam Khomeini he raised his voice against all these things. And that's why we say this is the continuation of what the Prophet has done, or the A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam, because, you know, the Tawgut never ends in the history.
Yes.
We know that in every span of time we have an oppressor, we have injustice in the society. So every time we need some people who raise their voice.
Yes.
And whoever will raise their voice, they are in line with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done, or the A'imma Ahl Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam has done. And obviously this is also the orders of the Quran.
Yes.
That in the Quran Allah has specifically has said that the Allah is the close guardian of those who believe in Allah. But those who refuse to believe in Allah, their close guardian are the Tawgut.
Oh.
You know, the Ayatul Kursi, when we read verse number 256 of chapter 2, Baqarah, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. This is Allah is the close guardian of those who believe.
Okay.
And then the duty of Allah is when He is the close guardian of those who believe, He takes them out of darkness and take them towards the light.
Okay.
On the other hand, the Tawgut, whose leader is evil or Satan, we can say.
Yes.
But the rest are the followers of the evil or the Satan. That's why they're known as false deities.
Deities, that's right.
So they take people from the light of guidance, light of perfection, light of justice towards the darkness of oppression.
That's right.
So this is the main difference.
But philosophically speaking, there is a difference, a big difference, between how the governors and today's, because the leaders of the world look at the system of administration of the world. It is very much far away from what you say.
Yes, that's true.
Are they thinking in a Taghuti way, as you said?
Obviously. When, you know, after Renaissance, we see like how God or the religion was taken away from the society. Okay. So when you take away from the society, that was another issue, because in the Christian society or the Jew society, they were unable to answer the questions of the people.
Okay.
And the main reason is the Christianity and Judaism were not the final version of the religion, which was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was Islam.
Yes.
So it was Islam's duty. But in the Christian society, when the popes or the preachers, they were unable to answer, you know, the Renaissance happens and then the people went towards the secularism or even atheism.
Yes.
And after that, you know, even the economical system, the political system, they were all based on the secular thoughts.
Yes.
How Marx comes and, you know, he bans or he bashes the religion in his thoughts. We have seen that in capitalism even, you know.
Even Karl Marx has said that religion is the opium for the people.
Yes.
Or opium of the people,
so,
that's right.
So these thoughts were ruling over the world.
Yes.
And the philosophers, because they were away from the original source, which is the religion or the books of Allah or the books which were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially Islam, that's why they came up with the ideas the way they used to think about this world. So even in today's world, the political system that we read in the traditional way, the conventional, we can say, like, not the Islamic but the conventional, we see that the atheism is there, the secular thought is there, and the religion is known as something privately to be practiced by individuals.
Okay.
And not a social system for the community.
You are right. They very much restrict religion into the individual and personal lives of the people. And this is not the role that the religion has. Religion has the social, as you said, and collective role too.
Allah, 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 Allah.
إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون
And day by day, Sheikh Rouhani, the religion is losing its color, but there is still hope, you know, in the Muslim lands, in some of the justice seekers and freedom seekers all across the world, in order to, we can say, keep this ray of light alive in the spirit of the people that we can say these taghut and these deviated groups will be eliminated and goodness will rule over the world. What's your take on that?
You know, in reality, the believers or the people who are with like kind of religious mindset,
yes,
the number of these kind of people is increasing.
Very good.
Every year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you go to the statistics.
Yes.
Even in the European countries, in the Western societies, the number of Muslims, the number of the people who convert to Islam, and the number of the people who became religious people is increasing.
Yes.
It is because of the lots of factors, lots of difficulties, challenges, problems that the non-religious people face in their daily lives. So that's why they are trying to find a kind of spirituality in their own lives. So one of the sources that can provide them with this kind of spirituality is religion, particularly Islam. But when it comes to tughyan, or we can say rebellions or revolt against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Holy Quran it is mentioned that innal insana la yatgha an ra'ahu istaghna. When the mankind feel that they are self-sufficient, in that case they start revolting or rebellions or disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Satan did in the first time. He did not follow and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to the Islamic systems, we have to focus on this important point that an Islamic system, a pure Islamic system, should always remind the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very good.
In order not to liatra.
Yes.
So that is
not,
why...
Not to act rebelliously.
Yeah, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That is why if you look at Imam Khomeini's speech, if you search... Yes. All his lectures, yes. In all of them, without any exception, he always remind the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have to consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing always whatever you do. Mm-hmm. And you have to do whatever you can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is exactly the main kind of idea or the principal kind of idea of Imam Khomeini,
yes,
that he based on his revolution on these kind of basic sort of fundamentals.
That's right.
And this is very much important,
yes,
because the moment you get astray from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, then you follow Satan.
Yes.
It becomes satanic.
Yes.
Your whole lifestyle becomes satanic if you follow the satanic kind of ideas.
The promised enemy of prosperity, yeah, exactly, of humanity. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Okay.
So you have no other choice, either to follow the right path or the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you are free still. You are free. Now millions of people are not following the religious kind of ideas because they are free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with freedom.
Okay.
We should freely decide either to choose this one or that one. But the role of scholars, the role of the prophets, the role of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is this, that they should remind always the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is God, there is Day of Judgment, there is hereafter life, and you have to be mindful. So that is why the Islamic revolution should not be termed only just as a mere kind of political change that happened in the history of Iran. It was rather a kind of ideological change or revolution as well that should be taken into consideration while speaking about Islamic revolution.
And that's why nowadays Islamic Republic of Iran is defending the rights of the oppressed people all across the world, you know, in Yemen, in Libya, we can say in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in different parts of the world, we can say in Palestine. Iran is really worried about the as you said, the satanic powers and sometimes the Taghuti powers that are ruling over these people. And this is the duty of the Muslims nowadays, because more than any other religion, Muslims are recommended to act against Taghut. And Sayyid Mohsen, a life of the Muslim without acting against Taghut, does it have any meaning? For example, can it be useful for him in the other world or not?
Well, obviously, according to the teachings of the Quran, every Muslim should be against the Taghut. He should raise his voice against the Taghut. It is according to the teachings of the Quran. And when we look at the teachings, the concept of jihad is also the same thing.
Yes.
That we have two types of jihad, the minor and the major.
Okay.
The minor jihad is when you fight with the guns or the swords,
yes,
with the apparent enemy outside,
yes,
maybe outside the Muslim land, okay, when they're attacking you. So that is also a Taghut. The other point is when you do the major jihad,
yes,
which is the jihad bin nafs,
mm-hmm,
when you reform yourself. Now, reforming myself means that I say no to everything which takes me to the place which is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
For example, in the Western society, I know that my friends, my colleagues, my mates, we can say like neighbors, they go to the party,
yes,
where there's alcohol and all those.
Yes, yes.
I need to say no.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary on me to go to a place where there is a haram,
yes,
action or deed has been happening.
Yes.
If for our sisters, if Allah has said you need to observe the hijab,
mm-hmm,
they must observe the hijab. They must put the veil on. They must hide their, you know, the body parts or the, yes, hairs from, yes, the others.
Okay.
On the other hand, for the men, you should not socialize with the women, you know, the stranger women, which are known as non-mahram.
Yes.
So all these things, every single action in our life, basically, yes, when we perform it according to the teachings of Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's all.
And
right,
every single action which is being done against the teachings of Quran,
yes,
it means following the Taghut.
Okay.
So we cannot live a Muslim life without saying no to Taghut.
No to Taghut. That's right. No to Taghut. That's right. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of Taghut. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.irt. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parsetoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsetodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsetodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
British retail consortium figures come amid concern over economy and rising cost of energy bills. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Guardian reported UK food price rises soared to a record rate in December 2022. Figures show, as retail industry bosses warned that high inflation would continue in 2023 amid the fallout from surging energy bills. Annual food inflation jumped to 13.3% in December 2022, up from 12.4% in November, according to the latest monthly report from trade body, the British Retail Consortium, BRC, and the data from Nielsen. The BRC said this was the highest monthly rate since it began collecting data in 2005. Highlighting the presence on households during the festive shopping season, the industry snapshot showed the price of many essential foods rose sharply as the reverberations from the Russia-Ukraine crisis continued to drive up energy costs. The BRC said high prices for animal feed, fertilizer, and energy fed into higher food prices on supermarket shelves, while warning that consumers would probably face further increases in 2023. It was a challenging Christmas for many households across the UK, said the BRC's chief executive, Helen Dickinson, adding, 2023 will be another difficult year for consumers and businesses as inflation shows no immediate signs of waning. The figures came as concerns grew about the strength of the British economy, with the headline inflation rates at its highest level since the early 1980s, driven by soaring gas and electricity bills. Manufacturers suffered a further downturn in activity in December 2022, with production, new orders and employment all in decline. The S&P Global SIPS UK Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index fell to a 31-month low of 45.3 in December 2022, down from 46.5 in November 2022, indicating a fifth successive month of contraction in UK factory output. Domestic and overseas demand remained lackluster as the industry suffered a weak end to 2022, with companies facing rising costs, increasing market volatility and problems related to Brexit for firms with EU-based customers. John Glenn, the chief economist at the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply, said new orders dropped at one of the fastest rates in over a decade as overseas customers were put off by Brexit custom requirements, pushing up costs and delays, and domestic orders were affected by the general pressure from rising prices. As the soaring costs fed through to consumers, households sharply cut back on spending in recent months. Figures from Barclays show retail sales fell overseas in 2022, while high street footfall slumped last week at a time when consumers would usually be hitting the shops for the Boxing Day sales. According to the BRC figures for December 2022, when households usually stock up on Christmas food and other things, the inflation rate for fresh produce accelerated to a new record of 15% in December, up from 14.3% a month earlier. However, retailers offering steep discounts on non-food products helped to bring December's overall shop price inflation figure down a little to 7.3% from 7.4% the month before, as high street stores and online retailers looked to shed excess stock built up during periods of disruption to supply chains earlier in 2022. Aldi said it had experienced record Christmas sales as more shoppers tend to the discount chain amid the cost of living crisis. The retailer said sales jumped by 26% in December to top £1.4 billion in the UK and Ireland for the first time. The discounter highlighted strong sales of fresh meat products, with poultry 28% for the month. Chilled dessert sales rose by 30%, while sales of cheese increased by about 50%. Snacks such as crisps and nuts were up more than 40% as the World Cup coincided with the Christmas period for the first time. Dickinson said businesses are struggling with soaring energy costs urgently required support from the government. The Chancellor Jeremy Hunt confirmed in the run-up to Christmas that he was preparing an extension in financial support for businesses with high energy bills, which would be announced early in the new year. According to ABC, with expectations that about 710,000 households across the UK will struggle to pay for warm clothing, heating and food this winter, residents in Burnley have resorted to cutting back on electricity use as much as possible.
The wage issue was cast into sharp relief this month when workers took industrial action almost every day across a range of sectors. The UK faced widespread disruptions as everyone from postal workers to nurses, security staff and airport employees walked off the job, demanding better pay rises and conditions. One of the big challenges we are facing in the UK at the moment, for example, is a strike action of workers not being happy with the pay that are being offered in the face of high inflation and taking industrial action. Mr. Zoranko said, it comes at a strange time in the UK's job market, with businesses struggling to recruit enough staff as a growing number of people leave the workforce altogether. Also, Mr. Ivan said, the post-pandemic labour market feels pretty weird overall. We've got the situation where we've got record vacancies, we've got employers hiring at record rates, but employment is still 300,000. Below pre-pandemic levels, where in most other advanced economies, it is above pre-pandemic levels. Mr. Evans has been following the UK's workforce exodus for months and says there are two main reasons why people are leaving. Mr. Evans says, we estimate that there is about 1 million fewer people in the labour market than if pre-pandemic trends had continued, and that's mostly driven by over 50s leaving the labour market and also people with long-term sickness. While more research is needed, Mr. Ivan said those leaving due to long-term sickness may in part be a lingering effect of the pandemic. Amid growing cases of long COVID and people suffering mental health conditions in the UK, Mr. Zoranko said, where we are now, the economic outlook is bleak. It's going to be a painful couple of years. For households, it's going to be a couple of years being squeezed by energy prices, followed by a couple of years being squeezed by interest rates, probably. Some pockets of the UK are likely to be harder hit than others, according to Father Alex, saying, I think there was a bit of a celebration that COVID-19 was all over this year, but the actual legacy of the pandemic in places of urban deprivation, such as Burnley, is that the impacts are massive.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.